Good morning. So good to see each of you today and collectively all of you, and I'm so glad that you are here. And I just want to say amen to the singing this morning. It was wonderful. Everyone was singing out, and brethren, doesn't get any better than that, I'm telling you. I want to make a plea before I get into my sermon this morning, and I'm going to make a plea to you because you love me, and I know you love me, that you're going to try your very best to be here for our youth rally this weekend. I have a feeling we might be a little light anyway because of some of the uncertainty on what the storm was going to do. And I sure hope that we'll have many that will come. But if you have never heard Brother Lonnie speak before, you are in for a treat. He is an outstanding gospel preacher. He's an outstanding counselor. He counsels first responders and some of the other great works that he does. But I encourage you to be here, not only to support it for the congregation, but also to support our youth as well. They need us standing behind them as much as possible, certainly in this world in which we live today. So I'm pleading, because you love me, that you're going to make the best effort possible to be here this coming Friday night as we kick off at 6:30 for our youth rally for 2017. And oftentimes, my wife often jokes with me, and she says, "How do you come up with your sermon ideas sometimes?" Because she says, "I don't even understand your thought process and how you think, really." Sometimes when I read the Bible, I guess what I like to do is put myself into the Bible as much as possible. I love to read the history of the Bible to learn about Bible times and to learn a lot about the customs and the way that they did things during that time. But oftentimes I've wondered, as I've read through the different accounts of the Gospels and looking at the letters that Paul has written and some of the other individuals that we read about, and looking at the letter to the Hebrews in relation to him trying to encourage the Hebrews to stay faithful, I've often wondered, had we been living during that time, would we have believed them? Now, you're probably saying, well, of course we would have believed them. Well, maybe so more today because their teaching has become, for the most part, socially acceptable. We accept it for what it tells us because it's been preached for 2,000 plus years now. We accept it because a majority of the world embraces the idea of what Christianity is. It embraces the idea of who Jesus is as the Son of God, for the most part. But in looking and going through the accounts of the different gospel preachers that we read about, had we been standing there on the day of Pentecost, as Peter was pointing his finger at us, would we have been receptive to what he was saying? Had we been there standing on the shores when John the Baptist was talking to the individuals about what repentance was and what the kingdom was, would we have believed him? As we listened to Paul and the idea of who he was and the background of which he came, would we have put our confidence in him as a gospel preacher, even though the Bible says he was a weak speaker, would we have believed what they had to say? So today, I ask the question, would we have believed them? So for just a few moments this morning, I want to talk about, obviously, as we look at the truth, I hope this is going to spark our thinking along these lines and looking at how these individuals were preaching during that time based upon the audience that they were trying to encourage with this new idea of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for them specifically. So would we have believed them? Would we have believed individuals like the harsh hermit? You know who the harsh hermit is? That's John the Baptist. Think about John the Baptist in relation to who he was coming out of the wilderness. And the Bible says here was a man who was clothed in camel hair who ate locust and honey. Do you think he was a little weird? In relation to how they dressed and what they thought and who the Jews were and how they practiced their religion, do you think they looked at this man and said, "That dude has lost his mind"? But you see, Jesus came out of the wilderness as one who was claiming or saying he was fulfilling the prophecy of who Elijah was in relation that he was the one who was being sent, as we read about in Malachi chapter 3, as the one who was going to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. And here comes this individual dressed differently than everybody else, preaching a message that no one has heard, pointing the fingers at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, calling them a brood of vipers and a bunch of hypocrites. Now, how would you have taken it had you been standing on the shore at that time as he was baptizing individuals concerning what repentance was and bearing forth the fruits of what repentance was as he told these Pharisees and the Sadducees? Would we have believed a message like John had at that time had we never heard anything like that before? You see, they knew that what somebody was going to be coming in relation to who this so-called prophet was, but they had no idea that that prophet was going to be Jesus, or that the one that the book of Isaiah talks about in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3, that he was the one to prepare the way for Jesus, and that Jesus was going to be this new Messiah that he was talking about. Do you think we would have believed somebody like the harsh hermit? I seriously doubt we would have, brethren, to be honest with you. When you think about the type of preacher that he was and what he was talking about in relation to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and calling these religious people who were coming to be baptized a brood of vipers, nobody likes to be called names when we're preaching the gospel. But Peter, or rather John, was simply pointing out something to the individuals and everybody else that was surrounding that needed to hear the message that he was saying. I seriously doubt we would have believed him if we balk at coming to service twice on Sunday, when these individuals were traveling miles to hear somebody who was coming out of the wilderness, who was dressed completely different than anybody else, didn't have a nice suit on. But here he was standing on the banks of the Jordan River, preaching the message of Jesus Christ to individuals, telling individuals that I'm not the Messiah. He said, I'm not even worthy to buckle the shoes of the one who's called Jesus the Christ. But he said, I came this way to prepare his way. You see, I consider what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 12, 42, when he talks about Sheba, who had traveled a great distance to hear the wisdom and the words of the great Solomon the king, when many people wouldn't travel to even hear the great saving message that he had concerning their souls. So when I think about the harsh hermit who John the Baptist was, we have to remember the perspective of when we look at people, no matter how they're dressed, brethren, of how God looks at individuals in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. He doesn't look upon the countenance or the stature of the individual. He doesn't look upon the outside. He looks on the inside. So you see, when we have an individual that comes in who doesn't look like us, who doesn't act like us, who doesn't dress like us, or perhaps doesn't even speak like us, would we accept what they have to say? Here was a man who was preparing a way for the greatest man who would ever walk on the face of this earth. So do I think we would have believed him during that time? Probably not. What about the hillbilly hypocrite? Would we have believed the hillbilly hypocrite? You know who I'm talking about? That's the Apostle Peter. You see, Acts chapter 4 says that he was unlearned and that he was ignorant. He was just a good old boy. He was a fisherman, right? He was even questioning who Jesus was when Jesus told him to go out and to cast his nets in the sea. He said, Lord, we've done this all night long. This is our occupation. We know what we're doing, but nevertheless, not my will, but I'll do what you tell me to do. The same one who rejected Jesus Christ three times and said he would never do that. The same who said he would never turn his back on Jesus. He would never leave him. He would never turn away from him. Although all the other disciples would turn their back on who he was, Peter said, I'm going to be the one that stands firm with you, Christ. I'm never going to leave you. You see, whose hypocrisy on one occasion, as we read about in Galatians chapter 2, split a church. But you see, Peter was the one who stood up in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost and said, you're the one who put Jesus on the cross of Calvary. It's your fault that he's dead. And if you don't repent and have your sins washed away for the remission of what Jesus' blood does for you, you're all going to hell. Unless you repent and are baptized, Peter said, you're going to perish. I think about had I been standing there after several folks called me drunk and ignorant, said I was unlearned and uneducated, had I been preaching the gospel during that time or been standing there and listening to his message, I would have said, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is telling me what I need to know and what I need to do? Brethren, believe it or not, sometimes we do that to people who preach the gospel. And sometimes I think it's even a sadder course today that we expect gospel preachers to be highly educated to understand the Bible. But yet I know many men, great men of the book, who never had a college degree. Great men that you read about or that you hear about that came before us as gospel preachers. My grandfather wasn't trained as a gospel preacher. He was trained as a middle school teacher, but preached the gospel for 45 years. I think about men like Peter as he stood up boldly on the day of Pentecost as one who was unlearned, one who was ignorant, and one who wasn't all that bright sometimes. who stood up boldly to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ because he knew it wasn't about him, brethren, it was about the message of the gospel and what it does for our salvation. So seriously, I doubt we would have believed a man like Peter, especially after some of the things that he had done to prove the type of man that he was. I mean, he was a hypocrite through and through. But I think sometimes we as individuals can relate with him because we have all been hypocrites at one time or another in our life. We've tried to shine a light but haven't been proof of who Jesus is because of how we act sometimes. But Peter is proof positive of how we can look back of an individual to see how he can change as he progresses and grows as a gospel preacher. And that's what he did. You see, if we want to expect a man to be formally educated before we want him as a preacher, you see, the wrong kind of learning can be a dangerous thing sometimes. As individuals, and we talked about this in Bible class, sometimes get overeducated. I'm not saying education is bad. Please don't take that. It's not what I'm saying at all. Education is a good thing. But we can't allow our education to outdo our spirituality and our religion. Remember, it's God who speaks louder than what man has to say. But we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews are stumbling blocks, and the Greeks foolishness. That's the world. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23. So when I think about had we been standing there on the day of Pentecost listening to Peter, or had we seen what he had later done as he rejected Jesus Christ, would we stand there and that want that individual to preach the message and the peace of Jesus Christ? Shake your head like this. Because sometimes, brethren, we as human beings are too judgmental. Because we think about the perfect picture or the perfect person that has to preach the Bible. Brethren, myself and nobody in this room is perfect. And there's every man is capable in this room to stand up here and preach the same message that I do. Doesn't matter what college you went to. Doesn't matter what preaching school you went to or how educated you are. If you have this book, you can preach this message. It's that simple. And that's exactly what Peter did. So would we have believed him? Probably not. What about the notorious nerd? Think we would have believed Paul? I mean, when you think about Paul, he was well-educated by Gamaliel. And when you think about the law and the prophets and all the things that this notorious nerd knew, do you think we would have listened to a man considering what his past was and what he had done to the church as a whole? Would you think we had listened to a man who was weak and not eloquent of speech, who was even weak in stature, the Bible says? Do you think we would have stood there and listened to this man and said, what is he going to tell me? I mean, this man can't even stand before an audience and talk. And he looks like he's about to fall apart by his stature. And this is the man I want preaching to me. You see, I know what his past was. He was the one that was killing and persecuting the members of the church. Remember that even when he was brought forth later after he had accepted and been baptized, as we read about in Acts 22 and verse 16, as he's recounting his life. Remember as he came into the presence of the other apostles and disciples, they said, are you out of your mind? Do you know what this man has done? But what was it as they took up for him and said, we got this. And later as he studied and learned and wanted to be one who was schooled in the thought of what Jesus Christ stood for, as he gave his life and everything about what he lived and stood for over to Jesus Christ. And when you think about what Paul says in Galatians 2 and verse 20, in giving his life over to Christ, that he was crucified with Christ, nevertheless he lived. It was Christ that was living in him. Paul wasn't living for himself, but what Paul was trying to convey to the Gentile nation was, it's not about your past, brethren, it's about where you're going and where you are today. You see, it doesn't matter who I am and what I used to be. God says it's about what you want to be and who I need you to be. Brethren, that's the greatest thing about the changing message of the gospel of Christ. It changes us and makes us better. And when you think about this notorious nerd, how sometimes we look at individuals and we know where they came from, and then we question why they come to Jesus, brethren, that ought not to be so. You see, I think about the Apostle Paul, and I doubt we would have believed him because sometimes we hold a person's pre-Christian life against them. Brethren, we don't ever come to the gospel as perfect creatures. I sometimes have people tell me, Larry, I'll be baptized and I'll come to Christ after I get my life right. The only way you're going to get it right is in Christ, not outside of it. But that's the kind of preconceived idea that people have, that the only way they can come to the perfect being of who Christ is to be perfect themselves. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, brethren. That means you and that means me. We've all fallen short. We've all fallen flat on our face. There's not a person in here That is perfect. But as I look at the Apostle Paul, considering who he was and where he came from, many people would judge him to think, there's no way I would want him to be an apostle today. But he was. Why? Because God saw something in him. I think we tend to judge people sometimes by their physical appearance rather than by their spirituality. We judge them by what they wear or how they look rather than how they act as a child of God. That's how we judge individuals righteously, of who they are as individuals and who they are as people. Again, brethren, we've got to remember God's perspective on things, 1 Samuel 16. And I'm glad that God is the one judging and not other people on that day. Because God looks here. Doesn't matter what I'm wearing or how I look or if I'm in shape or not in shape or no matter what shape I am, God's looking at my heart. And as we talked about in Bible class this morning of hiding that word in my heart, that's what God wants to know. He wants me to know. He wants to know that that's where I'm putting His word, right here. So I think about these men and who they are and what they stood for as individuals based upon how he dressed and how he acted and how he pointed people out. How the great apostle Peter himself, who was one that was not educated, was unlearned, and was a hypocrite himself, stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached one of the greatest sermons that we have in the Bible. I think about him as he stood there when he and John went to the temple of the fourth hour, as we read in the book of Acts, as they healed these individuals, as he healed the lame man at the gate. And as this lame man is clinging on to his side as if the miracle was going to go away, all of those Jews surrounded him and saying, "By what miracle have you done these things?" He said, "You act surprised, like you've never heard what we've been preaching already." I wonder if they were looking at him unlearned at that moment when he stood there and told them again that you're the one who killed Jesus the Christ. And I think about this notorious nerd who wrote pretty much most of the New Testament. And I think about his boldness. But also think about him as a gospel preacher who wasn't very eloquent when he talked, who wasn't great in stature, but he was probably one of the greatest writers that we read about in the New Testament through inspiration. One who truly suffered for the cause of Christ. If we had been standing there on those days during that time, would we have believed them? Probably not. But you see, the great news about the gospel that we have today is, as we've seen their examples, and we have them for examples, as the Bible tells us, and they tell us about how great these men were and what they did, and we can look to them as an example to encourage us, to inspire us to be better. You see, what I'm suggesting is that how we receive people today is a strong indication of whether or not we would have received John or Peter or Paul. This month, we're talking about the idea of fellowship, and it's not just casseroles. When you think about the idea of fellowship, it's bringing one into the fold that agrees and is like-minded with what you talk about. And when we think about individuals that come from the outside that don't look like the typical member of the Cary Church of Christ, brethren, should that be an indication that we should not let them in? No. The indication is that here's an individual that's lost, and I need to see their soul and not their outward appearance. 1 Samuel chapter 16 again. While we would like to think that we would have been quick to listen and believe their message, perhaps we probably would have acted differently than we do today. And I hope we appreciate the importance of looking beyond the message and how that message might be presented, brethren, to the simple message itself. That's the only thing that matters, the message itself. These men weren't great men. There was nothing special about these men, if you think about it. You see, we want to paint the picture that here's John, one who had talked about the life of Christ, who was the one that prepared the way for Christ. Here's this hillbilly preacher who was unlearned, yet stood up and preached the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, who never shied away, who understood he had faults. And here's this notorious nerd, and we consider these to be some great men, yet Jesus saw nothing but commonality in them. And he said, these are the men that are going to paint the way for the Lord's church. Brethren, if he could take men like this, what do you think he could do with us? A lot. There's another way to determine if we would have believed them back then too, believe it or not. And whether you would believe them back then is if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we might say, of course I would have believed them. They were the ones standing there on the ground in the first century. Have you obeyed the gospel? Or do we simply think it's just another preacher preaching a message that I've already heard? You see, when you think about these great men, they had one message, and that message was for you to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to obey everything He tells you to do. And through their life, they lived that, though not always perfectly, they tried to exemplify what it meant to be in Christ. So as we understand the idea of what it means to be brought into fellowship, for you to be in fellowship within the body of Christ, you've got to be in the body of Christ. And today we want you to do that. We want you to accept the gospel for what it says. We want you to believe it, since you've heard it today. And if you do believe it, as the Bible tells us in Mark 16 and verse 16, that you've got to be willing to repent of your sins. A few weeks ago, we talked about the idea of repentance, which brings about this change of mind, which brings about an action that says, I've got to change the way I'm living. Well, now I've got to do something about changing the way I used to live by accepting what the gospel tells me to do concerning my salvation. I've got to be willing to put on the Lord in baptism. You see, that's the next step in this process, is to accept and submit to everything that God tells me to do. You see, that's what's difficult for us as human beings, because I have to give over my life to Him and trust Him. Are you walking by faith today? I hope so. And if you're here as a child of God and you've done all of these things, you've accepted Him, you've followed Him, but maybe somewhere along the way you've stopped believing in Him. Maybe your confidence is not what it used to be when you first put on Christ in baptism. Maybe you're not as motivated as you used to be. Maybe you don't have the zeal that you want to have. Change that today. You see, because if you'll stand here and listen to me today, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ just as these men did some 2,000 plus years ago, as individuals, as Paul was one to make mistakes, even as Peter was one to fall flat on his face time and time again, he kept getting up. You know, I talk about putting myself into the picture of the Bible, and one of the pictures that always comes to mind when I try and place myself there is when Peter is standing before Jesus Christ after he has denied his Lord and Savior. Would your knees be knocking? Here's Peter standing in front of a man who he said he would never leave his side, he would never turn his back. I'll never deny you, Lord. And that's exactly what he did. And here Jesus comes after he's died on the cross of Calvary, after he's wiped away the sins of mankind, after he put all of that weight on his shoulder. I think about Jesus standing in front of Peter, and if I were in his place, what would I say to that man? Brethren, if we live a life of disobedience, we're doing exactly what Peter did, denying him. So think about yourself as you stand before Jesus today, and he asks you, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I agape fully, give my heart to you, love you. Feed my sheep. No other explanation needed. He didn't need to browbeat Peter. He knew. Peter knew what he had done. We know what our sins are. We know what our shortcomings are. If you're struggling with that today, let us help you. Let us pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want you to be right. But brethren, we have the Word of God today to believe, to follow, to obey, and to be a part of, as together we stand and as we sing. All right.